Last week we were talking. We've been in the book of the book of Acts for the last 8 weeks now. Today will be the last week that we're in the book of Acts for this current series. Next week, obviously, is Palm Sunday, and then Easter Sunday, and then we'll be starting a new series after Easter Sunday. The way I'm finishing out the book of Acts is continuing from where we left off last Sunday. So last Sunday, if you recall, if you were here, we were talking about persecution of the early church. And the reality is that here in America, we're blessed to possess this thing called religious freedom. And we don't feel the persecution the same way that a lot of places in the world do feel persecution. For the most part, we are able to share the gospel, we're able to share our faith without fear of being imprisoned or any great harm coming to us. However, when we're faithful to share the gospel of Jesus, there could be times where we might face some opposition of some sort, or maybe even persecution. Maybe at some point in time, things in America change, where we don't experience that same religious freedom. Maybe God calls you to a place to serve in ministry where they don't have that religious freedom, right? In fact, in the book 2 Timothy, the Apostle Paul declares this. He says that all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. All who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. So last week we began to examine how the early church faced persecution. And today I would like for us to kind of continue to consider that same subject. So I'm going to have you turn back to the same passage that we've actually been in for 3 weeks now, Acts chapter 4, verse 1 through 4. I'm going to reread it because I know some of you weren't here last week, or we've just forgotten where we were working with here. So we're going to reread it before we get going this morning. You're going to find it on page 772. So the first four verses say this. The priests and the captain of the temple guard and the Sadducees came up to Peter and John while they were speaking to the people. They were greatly disturbed because the apostles were teaching the people, proclaiming in Jesus the resurrection of the dead. They seized Peter and John, and because it was evening, they put them in jail until the next morning. But many who heard the message believed, so the number of men who believed grew to about 5,000, and that's where we'll stop. So Peter and John had been arrested as a result of preaching the gospel to the crowd that had gathered. The crowd that had gathered was there because of, if you were here last 2 weeks, you know this, because of the healing of the blind, lame man. When the religious leaders learned of the work of the apostles, they were furious and they persecuted the servants of Christ. So last week we saw that the early church faced great persecution and that persecution is still around today. Remember, I had a book up here last week that had martyrs of the faith called Jesus Freaks. Like, it's a great book. Nobody took me up on taking it home with them to read it. It's actually kind of a fascinating book. So if you want it, come talk to me after service. I'll go get it for you. It's a fascinating book about persecution that happens right here in the United States and all around the world today. Like, this is not something that only happened in the early church. So last week we started out by looking at the source of the Christian persecution, and we saw that it came from the Sadducees, who were the leaders of the Jews and the apostles. And they just didn't like that the apostles were blatantly contradicting their beliefs. The Sadducees resented the fact that the apostles were teaching it all to the people. They felt that was their responsibility. And the message that Peter and John preached, like, it infuriated them, right? The captain of the temple, the Sadducees, the priests, they didn't want the teaching to be about Jesus, this man that they had just put to death. So we see the source of the persecution. Last week, we saw the reason for the Christian persecution, and it's because of the message that they were sharing. It's because if what they were saying was true, then it means that the person that they put to death just weeks earlier, Christ, like, they did something wrong. Last week, we also saw that there were varying degrees of opposition and persecution against the early church. And I think that's still true today. There's varying degrees of this. So we saw that sometimes persecution is verbal, right? They were warned initially. They were warned by the Sanhedrin to stop talking about Jesus. And then they were sent on their way. And what did they do? They kept talking about Jesus. So they were brought back into the Sanhedrin. And as a result of that, we also discovered that, yes, sometimes it's verbal, but sometimes it becomes physical. Right? Because this time when they were brought back in, it says that they were beaten as a result of their service to Christ. And then in the remainder of chapter 4 and on into chapter 5, we're told the gospel continued to spread and multitudes were converted. What was continuing to happen did not escape the attention of the religious rulers. In fact, I think it just made them more mad. So much so that they persecuted them physically. Christians all over the world face verbal and physical persecution today. Some of them have, and others will, lose their lives as a result of their stand for Jesus Christ. I don't know about you, but when I think about that kind of stuff, when I read a book like Jesus Freaks, and I read through the stories of martyrs, like I have to ask myself sometimes, how serious am I about my faith and my convictions? Like these people are willing to die for the message of the gospel. And this really leads us to the last degree that we see in this passage, is that sometimes persecution is fatal. Like since the early days of the church, millions of Christians have been persecuted to the point of death in an effort to suppress the gospel message. However, in many instances, Christian persecution has served to advance the kingdom of Christ, the exact opposite of what's intended. It reminds us that God is sovereign in the midst of Christian persecution. Because of the faithfulness of the apostles, many Jews were converted. Last week, I took time to kind of go through the first four or five chapters and talk about how we got to this number of about 5,000 men, or maybe 10 or 15,000 men, women, and children that now knew Jesus Christ through the midst of all this persecution. God used his faithful servants to grow Christ's church. Those early Christians, they were empowered by the Holy Spirit, and they were faithful to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. They were faithful to be vessels of that important message because they knew that people's eternities depended on it. And even though Peter and John, in the passage that we just read this morning, were now imprisoned and enduring opposition and persecution, God had not abandoned them. In fact, some would say that he had placed them in a position to reach the leaders of the Jews with the gospel. Even though they faced persecution for preaching the gospel, their labor was not in vain. For many who had heard the word believed. So that's where we pick up at today. Right? The great work that God did through his servants that we looked at last week shows us several really important truths about the sovereignty in the midst of about God's sovereignty in the midst of Christian opposition or persecution that people face in this world. And the first thing that we see is that, number one, God directs his servants. God directs his servants. The apostles were in this situation because they were obedient to the direction of the Holy Spirit. They knew that persecution was not just a possibility, but it was a probability for them. But they obeyed the Lord in spite of the danger that they faced. There may be times when God puts us in situations where we will be opposed or even persecuted for our faith. And in these instances, we must be faithful and obedient to God's call on our lives. If God directs us to go somewhere, we need to be faithful before all else. When Rachel and I and our family lived back in Ohio, for many years we worked with and ran the youth ministry at our church. And there were a number of kids that came from some apartment buildings right next door to us. And a lot of these kids that would come to our Friday evening youth ministry stuff kind of came from some troubled backgrounds. And they were a little bit more rough, and it was more of a challenge for us to work with them. And I never knew exactly, you know, where all their paths left once we moved out here, and we kind of lost touch with a lot of these young men and women. But probably, I don't know, maybe 10 years ago or so now, I received a message from one young man, and he told me, just thank you. He said, I know that at the time that we were in youth ministry, we were a little bit of a pain, but seeds were planted through that time. And you wouldn't have known that at the time, but I've come to know Jesus Christ, and I'm serving in missions, and sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ. And when this young man says he's sharing in missions, I began to you know, try to stalk him on Facebook and see what he's doing. And he gave me some links to some stuff that shared his story. But this young man was sharing the gospel of Jesus Christ in North Korea. And he ended up detained in North Korea. So we say that it's not going to happen to us, but if God puts a call on our life and we're obedient to that call, like, there's no saying that it's not going to happen to us. The apostles were called to be witnesses in Jerusalem, Judea, and Samaria, and even to the ends of the earth. In the same way, we have been commanded to be witnesses of Christ wherever God has placed us. That's what we've been directed to do. What we learn from the early church is that regardless of the consequences, we must surrender to God's will and follow the direction of the Holy Spirit. Even if that means us getting outside of our comfort zones, even if that means maybe somebody, you know, shunning us or pushing us away from them as a result of it, even if it means a lost relationship, even if it means the loss of a promotion or whatever the impact might be that we could possibly face in today's culture in North America. God's call is not, as long as it's easy, spread the gospel and the good news of Jesus. His call is spread it. Not only does this passage show us that God directs his servants, we also see that, number two, God protects his servants. Like, I don't believe that anything happens outside the scope of God's knowledge, and I believe that we see that here too. The apostles knew that death was a real possibility, right? They were living in a different day and a different time and a different place than we are. They've been summoned to appear to the very people who were responsible for the execution of Jesus just a few weeks earlier. However, they weren't intimidated by it. In fact, Peter boldly declared that they were responsible for the death of God's Messiah. That's pretty impressive. The apostles found themselves in a place very similar to that of the three Hebrews that were boldly declaring to King Nebuchadnezzar that their God would deliver them from the fiery furnace. Remember this story in the Old Testament? Right? They're being threatened to be thrown into the fiery furnace, and they declare that their God will deliver them from the fiery furnace. And they say, even if he didn't, we're still not going to bow and worship your false idols. The apostles were willing to die if that was God's will for their lives. But they were confident that God would not allow them to be killed until he had used them to accomplish the task that they had been assigned. The remainder of Acts shows us that some of them did die as a result of their service to the Lord. Right? James was martyred very early on. His brother John lived to be into his 90s. Stephen's ministry was very short, but it was so powerful that God is still using his life and testimony 2,000 years after his death. The reality is that some lives and ministries are very short. Others are much longer, but ultimately God is sovereign. His purpose is to advance the kingdom of heaven, to give the hope and the joy of Jesus Christ. And he's not surprised by any opposition or persecution that we may face. God directs his servants. I believe God protects his servants. And in the process, number three, God uses his servants. Even though the apostles faced this really, really intense persecution that it's hard for us to wrap our minds around, God used them to accomplish a specific task. As we saw at Pentecost, and as we see throughout the remainder of the book of Acts, the apostles and the Christians did not have the ability to save a single soul, right? They didn't. And here's the good news, I think it is for all of us, is you and I don't have that ability either. But they were the instruments. They were the vessels that God used to reach multitudes with this life-changing message of the gospel. Because of their courage and faithfulness, many people came to faith in Christ. God's plan involves us taking that message and sharing it everywhere that we go. Like, get you just be a part of who we are as followers of Christ. When we walk into our workplaces, people should see something different about us. They should hear different things coming out of our mouths as we're sharing our witnesses to how we've seen Christ at work. When we walk into our schools, it's the same thing. God's plan involves us taking that message and sharing it everywhere we go. Just as he used those early Christians, right? He can use us to proclaim the good news of salvation through Jesus Christ. When we are bold and obedient in the face of opposition and persecution, the gospel will spread and the kingdom will be advanced. Who might be in your life today that you can share the gospel of Jesus with? Somebody pop into your mind? Family member, a friend, co-worker, a neighbor? I think that this leads us to the fourth point, that God multiplies his servants. The religious leaders sought to stop the spread of the gospel. However, their plans failed, and numerous new believers were converted. And these people that were converted joined the work of the numbers of the disciples to continue to share and spread the gospel. Like, many in the crowd were saved. In response, they reached other people who in turn continued to reach even more people. That's the wonderful thing about the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is when the Holy Spirit works in somebody's life, it spreads to others. The same gospel message. Like, think about this. The same gospel message has been handed down for generations. And it's reached us. And many of us in this place this morning have been saved as a result. If we will surrender to Christ and seek to be servants who obey the Great Commission, God will use us to multiply the number of his servants. This passage makes it clear that when we devote ourselves to this task, opposition and persecution certainly can be a reality. However, opposition and persecution does not negate our responsibility to share Jesus with the lost. That's not what we saw in Acts. We didn't see the early church say, "Whoa, just went to jail, not doing that again." It's not what we see. Church history proves that evangelism leads to persecution. And persecution often opens the doors for even more evangelism, for even more sharing. When a believer is faithful in the midst of opposition and persecution, to some degree, it proves the geniusness of our faith. And God can use your faithfulness and my faithfulness to reach lost people with the gospel, and it may lead to their salvation. Because of this, we must be willing to endure at times persecution. The apostles show us that we can even rejoice in the midst of it. I don't know if you remember last week, probably four or five times, I asked a question. I want to leave you with that question one more time today. Are you willing to be God's vessel, even in the face of opposition and or persecution? Are you willing to be God's vessel, even in the face of opposition or persecution? If we know Jesus Christ personally, I encourage you to be bold and faithful, to devote yourself to the Great Commission and to share Jesus with the world that's around you, with the people that Jesus has brought into your life. Right? Like, remember Jesus' last words. These were meant for all followers of Christ. It's called the Great Commission. These are meant for you. They're meant for me. In fact, I'm going to have you turn there with me. So go to Matthew chapter 28. Matthew 28, verse 18. It's going to be page 706. Such powerful instructions for us as followers of Jesus Christ are in these three verses. It says, then Jesus came to them and said, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. And then here comes our marching orders. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything that I have commanded you. And then here's the promise, right? End of verse 20. Surely I am with you always to the very end of the age. That promise is tied to the commission, right? So God is with us. He is with us when in our goings we are making disciples. He is with us when we are baptizing people. He is with us when we are teaching people to obey everything that Jesus, that his word has commanded us. So the question that we face in the church today, and for us, it looks very different than in the book of Acts, and I get that. But will we resolve to be involved in sharing the hope of Jesus, even when we don't know what the cost might be? Maybe we rephrase it to that, right? Instead of saying, even in the midst of persecution or opposition, maybe we rephrase it. Will we resolve to be involved in sharing the hope of Jesus, even when we don't know what the cost might be? That's the example of the first church. When we look at the book of Acts, we see a group of followers of Jesus didn't care about what the cost was, because they were committed. And that's the example that you and I have to follow today. Lord God, we thank you for the early church and for the example that they have set for us. We thank you for these last 8 weeks and just exploring the early church a little bit, just touching on some of the stuff that was a part of the early church and how it's influenced us today and how it should influence us today. This morning, Lord God, we thank you for the freedom that we currently experience in North America, to be able to come together and worship as we're doing right now. But we know there's no guarantees to that. We know things in life change, and they change very rapidly at times. And we know that your calling for us is not necessarily just to North America. But maybe you're calling to somebody that's a part of this body. It's to a place where there is no freedom of religion. May we, Lord God, be a people like this early church that will be so committed, so dedicated, that it doesn't matter the persecution we face, because we understand the importance of the message that we are to pass along. That we understand that eternity for other lives depend on hearing the gospel message of Jesus Christ. So Lord God, no matter what the cost is, may you find us to be faithful vessels of sharing your gospel message. We pray this in your name. Amen.